Greetings, Cap fans, and welcome to episode 106 of the Captain America Comic Book Fans Podcast. I'm your host, Rick Verbanis, and as always, I'm joined by the best gosh darn co-host out there. Hey, Bob. Bob Lucius is whatever a co-host is. Spins a tail, but never lies. Compared to Rick, he's oversized. Look out. Here comes the Bob Lucius.
Oh, bravo. Bravo.
You like that?
Yeah, nicely done. Holy cow.
In the middle of the night. No, I'm sorry. All right, so Bob, what's that from?
Wow, that was from the Spider-Man animated series, right?
Yeah.
From the late 60s.
Indeed. And I, you know what, I wanted to tie it into what we're covering tonight, Bob, and that is Captain America 137 and 138, which is a special two-part story that features Cap and the Falcon versus who? Spider-Man.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought we'd have a little fun with that one. It's from 1971. So we're going back in the way back machine again.
Yeah. Yeah. That is a long time ago, Rick.
Yeah.
Well, not for some of our listeners, I'm sure.
Well, some of our listeners weren't even born then.
That's true. That's true. Yes. I've been hearing a lot of, I've been seeing a lot of comments recently. I've been a Marvel fan since the 1980s. Wow, you're missing a lot.
Yeah. So anyway, you know, Bob, we're recording this. This is going to come out Wednesday, October 19th. So we're recording this a couple of weeks earlier, and there's been a lot going on right now with the hurricane and with you being down there in Florida. How did you make it through?
I super lucky, Rick, super lucky. My house, my neighborhood, came through, you know, pretty unscathed. You know, we were really, really lucky. So, but I know lots and lots of folks weren't. Lots of damage down here. Things, I haven't seen, since the war zones, you know? So, I mean, it's really, really bad. So I feel super grateful that we got through this one. We got this through this one okay. So, but, you know, certainly there's a lot of work to be done. So it's going to take months, if not years, for folks to get their lives back on track down here.
Yeah, it's really sad. And our hearts go out to the listeners out there that were affected by this, or if your family or friends or your business was affected by this. Certainly, you know, you have our condolences. We know this is a tough time for some people who've been affected by this, you know, natural disaster. But I'm glad to hear, Bob, you're doing okay.
Thank you.
And the family's doing okay as well. We encourage those out there that if you have the opportunity, you know, do what you can to help support the relief efforts. You know, you may want to go to the American Red Cross. Certainly, they do a lot for those who've been affected. So you can just go to redcross.org and make a donation. And I'm sure people who were affected by Hurricane Ian will greatly appreciate it.
Rick, were you around for Sandy when it hit New Jersey?
Oh, Bob. Yeah, I was, but I wasn't affected. And I was one of the very, very, very few here in New Jersey that was not affected. I know people who were, you know, went without power for mm-hmm. weeks.
Yeah.
And, you know, our power flickered for a slight moment.
Yeah.
And then we were fine. And you know why? This was back when I was renting this house in central New Jersey, and we were just a few blocks away from the courthouse and the jail. So we were on the same grid as the courthouse and the jail.
Well,
so we didn't lose power.
Yeah,
so I was very, very fortunate, but
yeah.
I know a lot of people who were affected by that, and you know, organizations, businesses really step up. I mean, like the local YMCA, you know, did a lot to, you know, provide hot showers and places for people to be and, you know, and get food.
Charge their stuff.
And you know, the churches and places of worship that also, you know, really come together, you know, as a community to help help those. And I'm sure that, you know, the same can be said for down in Florida. You know, it's times like these you remember that, you know, we're all the same. No matter what differences you had before, you know, these things kind of get put aside is when, you know, the real things that matter in life come to fruition, and everybody's like, you know what, let's pitch in and help. And, you know, it does the heart good to see that.
Yep. Seen a lot down here. You know, I'm sure the same in Puerto Rico where Fiona struck just a couple of weeks ago. So, I mean, lots of folks suffering right now, but indeed communities pulling together.
Yep. And you know what, speaking of community, I just want to say also a special thank you to the patrons of this show. You know, because of you, we are able to kind of, you know, pay our expenses and do some cool things and get some guests on the show and have some cool prizes. So I haven't done this before, Bob, but I feel like I want to do this. Like, we've had some people who have come on, been on for, you know, a period of time, got the coin, dropped off. You know what? And listen,
what?
You know what? Listen,
I
appreciate it. You know, thank you for your support. But here are some people who have been with us for some, you know, for quite some time. Yeah. And so I just want to say a special thank you to these patrons. I want to say to Grant, to James, Joshua, mm-hmm. Seth, mm-hmm. Jonathan, John, Ash, David, Chris, Ralph, Wes, Christopher, Thomas, Jeff, Steve, Scott, Thomas, Christopher, Aaron, Brian, Michael, and Chris. Thank you very much. You guys, and gal, sorry. Mm-hmm. And don't want to leave Ash out. You know, you guys have been, you know, big supporters of the show, and we really do appreciate that.
Yeah. And there are a lot of fun in the Facebook group too. Those are like a list of my favorite people in the Facebook group, folks that consistently comment, have great things to add, provocative, insightful, you know. So all around great folks.
Yeah, 100%. Yep. And they, you know, some of them also call into the show or send emails for questions for our guests. So, you know, we love the community that we've created here. And, you know, if you want to be part of the community too, you know, you can go to our Facebook page, which is just go on Facebook and look up Captain America Comic Book Fans and join the group. You know, we have over 4,000 Cap fans there that, you know, very lively discussions on a daily basis, you know, great posts, great shares. You know, it's like a trip down nostalgia lane, you know, every day I go on there, which is mm-hmm. always cool. And then if you want to become a patron and support the show, just, you know, go on our website, which is CaptainAmericaComicBookFans.com, and you can sign up, you know, to be a patron there. Or, you know what, if you need more information, just shoot me an email at capcomicfans@gmail.com. All right, Bob. So should we get into the comic?
Let's do it, Rick.
All right. So as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, we're doing Captain America. Well, technically it's Captain America and the Falcon. Mm-hmm. Issues 137 and 138. Now, 137 had a cover date of May 1971, which means it probably came out in March. And it has, wow, the cover grabbed you, right?
It does, yeah.
It's by Sal Buscema. So he mm-hmm. did the cover here, and it is, the you know, the logo takes up about a third of the page, right? Captain America and the Falcon. In the corner box, you got a charging Cap with his shield up, and then just a head of the Falcon, and you know. Bob, for only 15 cents, you too can get this issue back in 1971. Mm-hmm. But the cover itself is Captain America and the Falcon charging away from the reader, right? So we're seeing their backs as they're running down the road in a city. and it's nighttime. There's a moon with some clouds in front of the moon, and it's very dark. And what do we see in a very artistically styled way is a gargantuan Spider-Man from coming in from the horizon over top of the city landscape. And he's coming at them and they're going at him. And the title says, "To Stalk the Spider-Man."
This is such a great cover, Rick. You know, when we were talking about like, oh, what are we going to do this week, right? Mm-hmm. And you said, well, yeah, let's do something from the 70s. We did something from the 60s last time, and we're going to skip ahead to the 80s next time. And let's do something in the 70s. The first thing that popped into my head was this story, and particularly because of this cover, which always grabs me whenever I'm scrolling through the database of covers. This cover always jumps out at me. Is pretty cool, you know. It's very original and artsy, but also compelling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree. And also, you know, with the Falcon. So, like I said, it says to stalk the Spider-Man. And it's written on the road they're running on, and the Falcon's left boot is kind of standing on the end of Spider-Man. So it looks like it says, to stalk the Spider-Ma.
It does. And he's wearing that classic green, the original green costume, which is so cool.
Yeah, and he's been doing that since issue 117. So this actually, okay, well, let's get into the creators on this one, right? So I mentioned Sal Buscema did the cover. Stan Lee is the writer. Penciler is Gene Colan. And I bring that up because you mentioned, you know, the green costume, right? Well, Gene Colan has been the regular artist on Captain America since issue 116, which was the issue right before the introduction of the Falcon. So he's pretty much been on the beginning of the Falcon run. So if you start to kind of think of artists in different time periods, that kind of helped me. Like when I think of Gene Colan, like, oh, Gene Colan was those first couple of years of the Falcon and the green costume. So that's kind of cool. And also I just want to point out, this is also Gene Colan's last issue as the regular artist. And next issue we have John Romita coming on board. Now the inker is a William Blake Everett, also known as Bill Everett. Now, that name should ring a bell. Bill Everett's been around forever. He actually kind of got his start in the late 30s, in the Golden Age. And he's been a penciler, a writer, and as you can see here, he's also an anchor. In fact, you know, when doing a little bit of research about him, back in the late 30s, he created a little known character known as the Submariner.
That rings a bell.
Yeah. Who's actually, you know, within a couple of weeks is going to end up being making, you know, a motion picture debut in the new Black Panther movie. So, but yeah, the Submariner, he created Submariner. And then, you know, different things happened in his career. Then eventually he joined, you know, Marvel, and he helped co-create Daredevil.
I was not aware of that.
Yeah. With Stan Lee. So at least he's credited for that.
Okay.
But in any case, yeah, he's a fantastically accomplished creator. Unfortunately, he passed away like, you know, 2 years later at the age of 55, Bob.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, and I think if I'm not mistaken, I mean, I could be mistaken because I'm certainly not an expert in all the Golden Age heroes, but I think Submariner was the first of Marvel's heroes.
Yes, that is correct. So what way I read it was, you know, he was working at a company called Funnies Inc.
Yes.
And he created the Submariner for this project, and it didn't come out. Mm-hmm. And then, so eventually the characters then got used in, gosh, I can't remember the name of it, but there was the original, there was a story with Marvel Comics number one.
Right.
Right. And end up, you know, being there, and then, which eventually became Timely Comics, which eventually became Marvel Comics. So yeah.
Yeah.
And Submariner became hugely popular, you know, around that time, you know, also later was, you know, the Human Torch was created. And then of course we know Captain America was created, and those three were just, you know, immensely popular at the time.
Right. Yeah. A lot of history there.
Yeah. Oh, so let's get back to the creators. Letterer is Artie Simek. We've heard that name many times, and of course,
many times.
Yes.
And then, he died a few years later as well, Rick.
Yeah.
You know, he died. He passed in 1975. But man, the volume of his work. Now, there's a guy that I would love to have had the opportunity to interview,
mm-hmm.
just because he worked on so many books.
Yeah. Yeah. He probably like a Bob Sharon who we interviewed a while back, you know, legendary colorist, probably, you know, forgot so much because the amount of quantity of work,
right? Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
it's amazing.
Yeah.
You want to hear the solicitation for issue 137?
Yeah, I sure do.
All right. Featuring Spider-Man, are Cap and the Falcon breaking up? Can the Falcon save himself from a fighting mad Spider-Man? And oh, that Colin Everett artwork.
That was just riveting.
Yeah. Makes you want to buy it, right?
I do. 15 cents? Heck yeah.
Yeah. You wanna announce the title on the splash page?
Captain America and the Falcon to stalk the Spider-Man.
So what do we see here? We see on this big splash, we see Captain America and the Falcon, who's wearing a jetpack, being floated up on some sort of light.
It's like a light cloud or something.
Yeah, yeah. The Mole Man kept his word. He's raising us to the surface on a solidified levee beam.
Ah.
That's what it was. If you just waited, Bob, you could have.
I know, right? Well, the guesswork.
Yeah. That's pretty lucky for us, Cap. Because just like Tony Stark warned me, the fuel in my flying gizmo ran out down there. Last ish, we saw Cap and the Fighting Falcon trapped below the surface of Earth in the mysterious kingdom of the Mole Man. But fortune was with them and with us as well, because they're coming back safe in time for Spider-Man.
Also, like Rick, I love this splash page, and I love the fact that, you know, both Cap and Falcon are on the leather beam,
mm-hmm.
but Red Wing is just like perched on the jetpack, and the look on his face is like, this is BS.
He's like,
I can just fly out of here.
No, he's like, I'm gonna catch a ride.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. And at the bottom corner, there's a little arrow telling you that you need to turn the page, Bob, just in case you weren't sure how this whole book, comic book, magazine, periodical thing worked.
Right. Yeah. It was early on in the industry.
Mm. And now it's time to sock it to you. All right. Now I need to look up, when did Laughing end?
Right. Yeah.
Right. Can you look that up?
All right. I'm going to look it up.
Did you ever watch Laugh-In, Bob?
I did. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I watched it live as a kid. I mean, didn't it?
It was on for quite some time. It sure did, yeah.
Yeah, and that Goldie Hawn, huh? Huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And that little, as I'm looking this up, it reminds me that my, I guess it ran, the final episode was in March of 73. So probably a lot of reruns after that.
I guess so. Yeah. All right. Well, but this was, you know, it was live when this came out. So, you know, Sokka had to be a pop culture reference at that time.
Oh, absolutely. Right. Yeah.
You were, let's be honest, Bob. you were more of a Ruth Buzzy kind of fan.
Oh,
you?
I love Ruth Buzzy. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. She you know, she hit the game show circuit, you know, for years after that. So I still watch some of those old game shows, you know, on MeTV.
Oh yeah,
you have that channel up there. That
yeah,
MeTV.
No, I don't have that kind of time, man.
Well, you should. It's very educational.
Some of us doing research for the podcast.
Oh well.
Those old game shows, they were great.
Yeah, they were.
All right, so next page, and now we see from Sam and Steve's perspective coming up to the bridge of they're looking down the hole. Because I guess, you know, the episode or issue before, you know, everybody was like, they're going down there where the mole man is. And everybody's kind of been waiting around for them to come back. Boy, I'll bet they'll never expect to see us again. I wonder if Sharon is up there in the crowd. It's a miracle. They're safe. The Falcon rescued him somehow. And then we see Sharon. And she's, can you describe what she's wearing, Bob, please?
It's an odd piece of attire, Rick. I was trying to figure this out myself and I was slipping through it. It's an entire bodysuit that is fuchsia. I mean, the gloves.
Now, come on. The attire is not odd because the attire is what she normally wears when it's all white. It's yeah. Basically the same thing with the collar
well,
up.
Well, you're right.
Collar
yeah.
up.
Yeah. You would expect black or white, right?
Yeah. But instead it's magenta.
It's magenta. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard on the eyes. Although she's easy on the eyes.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Speaking of eyes, how does she look right now?
Yeah. She has these big doe eyes, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's.
And she looks 15.
She does look 15.
Right.
Yeah. Which I guess is fine because that's who the audience was at the time. Right. So. This was probably well received at the time.
I guess. He's alive. Cap is really alive. Bet you never expect to see him again, lady. It seems so horribly hopeless. I didn't dare to dream. I thought my whole world had ended forever. And then she not only faints, Bob.
Mm-hmm.
But she does it in such a dramatic way where she just throws her arms up and contorts her body and twists and she just tilts her head back and her ponytail flies.
Yes. I think we could all be glad that her holster is empty.
Yes, indeed. And then there's Nick Fury chopping a cigar behind her and a few other people ready to grab her. Sharon, for the love of Pete. She's fainting. She'll be all right, Colonel. She's been under a great strain. I'll let her rest in the first aid shack. Yeah, you do that, Doc. The poor kid could use it. Seconds later, as they Sam and Steve get onto the bridge, you'll have to get rid of your atomic waste matter somewhere else, General. The Mole Man doesn't want Earth's core polluted. And he makes a mighty bad enemy. Maybe this is a lesson for all of us, gentlemen. We can no longer despoil the planet we live on. Sooner or later, we'll all have to pay the price.
Hmm. Well, I'm glad that lesson was learned back in 1971.
Oh, yeah, 50 years later, and we're doing just dandy. Say, partner, before it slips my mind, thanks for saving the old man's life. Don't mention it. At least it took me away from the TV. Strange. Everybody seems to be here except Sharon. I guess she didn't care enough to wait. What's the matter, man? You suddenly look blah. Forget it. Let's take off. And the two of them get on his motorcycle, including Red Wing, who's going to hop a ride too. And just as the muffled roar of Cap's cycle fades away into the gathering night, we see back Sharon sitting up, you know, with the doctor there. I'm all right now, doctor. But Cap, I have to go out to see him. Afraid it's a bit too late, Miss Carter. He and the Falcon just left. They left? You mean he didn't even wait to see me. Dun dun dun.
Star-crossed lovers, right?
Oh my goodness. Is this like the worst soap opera ever? Yeah.
Communication, people.
Writing, Stan. Tell me, Sam, have you ever been in love? Sure, man. Lots of times. That's not what I mean. I mean the one time when it counts. That's what's bugging you, Steve? Sharon? I don't know. Maybe it's just something I ate.
I love that line. Right? No. Maybe it's just something I ate.
Yeah. Oh, I was being vulnerable and you just mocked me. No, it was something completely different. Forget I just said that. You must be uptight, partner. You always told me not to wheel around in costume unless we had to. Huh? Oh, I didn't realize. Well, it's late and it's dark. No one apt to see us now. This crummy hole in the wall sure ain't no bat cave, but it's better than leaving the bike outside to be pinched. So they go into this kind of alleyway to put the motorcycle. Hey, wouldn't that be a kick? Imagine someone swiping Captain America's cycle. Yeah. Boy, you're a real bundle of laughs tonight. Get off my back, mister. If you're looking for a straight man, try someplace else. Okay, all right. Maybe I will. See you around, man. Yeah, sure. And so Sam's putting on, you know, his civilian clothes as he walks down through the city late at night. I never saw him this way before. That chick's got him bugged, but good. But I never signed no contract to be his whipping boy. Anytime he wants trade gripes, I'll match him 2 for 1. I figure any black man can. Trouble is, I'm just a lightweight compared to him. He's got the rep. It figures he's been at it for 20 years. But give me time. I'll get there yet. You know, when I read this the first time, Bob, I was like, 20 years? What?
Right.
Yeah. But, yeah. You know, I mean, this comic is 50 years old.
Exactly. Right. Yeah.
And then he gets into his social work office. And who's greeting him there, Bob?
It's Figaro.
And every time I hear that,
uh-huh.
what do you think of, Bob? Are you thinking
Figaro?
Figaro. Right? Bugs Bunny?
Oh, no, I wasn't thinking it. I was thinking of the way Robin Williams did him.
Oh, no way. Okay.
In Mrs. Doubtfire.
Oh, and here I'm thinking of Bugs Bunny when he's in the opera.
Right.
Being the conductor.
Indeed. That's a classic one, too. But I think my mind goes to, you know, I remember Mrs. Doubtfire at the beginning.
Of course I know Mrs. Doubtfire. I gave you a hello from Mrs. Doubtfire.
I know.
Like 80-ish episodes ago or whatever. I don't know.
He's doing that voice at the beginning. He gets fired because he objects to the smoking. The cartoon character smoking. Right?
Ah.
Yeah. So that's how he loses his job at the beginning of Mrs. Doubtfire.
I totally forgot that.
Yeah. I don't know why I remember that. There's a penguin standing on that iceberg that's preventing another knowledge penguin standing on that iceberg.
That's all right. We're here as a public service to share this useless knowledge. So now our listeners have this same useless knowledge. They're going to go ahead and share at dinner later tonight.
Right. Yep. And that knocked probably somebody's, you know, locker combination, you know, pin number. That penguin had to get off the iceberg to store that penguin.
Mother's birthday.
Yep.
Okay, Figaro, you can stay inside for a while. As long as Red Wing stays out on the window ledge, I won't have to worry about you. But don't you bug him here. He's one partner who ain't temperamental. As for me, maybe it's time I started to make it out on my own. So he puts his Falcon gear back on, opens up the window where Red Wing is sitting. He's got a look on his face. How would you describe that look?
He looks like he is, it's one of those looks where you're like, all right, let's go do it.
Yeah. Yeah, he's determined but smiling. Right?
Yeah.
Let's travel, Red Wing. We're going to make the Falcon as famous as Captain America. Or bust a gut trying. So he's using his grappling hook to climb up to the roof because, again, this is pre-wings, everybody. I don't know if I made that clear, but he's wearing his green outfit, which is he did not have wings, which were later given to him, not too much later, actually coming up soon, by Black Panther. So he's just kind of using this to, and he also uses it to like swing around too. Stay on top of it, Soul Brother. Maybe we'll get lucky. Hey, who's upstaging me? It's Spider-Man. But what's his hurry? That cat's way out of his territory. It's bad enough I got to compete with Cap. Now I get it. The Fuzz are after him. Man, this is what I've been waiting for. Nobody's ever stopped him yet. And the guy who does will have it made. And so he goes jumping after Spider-Man, who is, you know, swinging between the buildings here. And he misses him and lands on a clothesline, which is why it's got to be the Falcon who brings in Spider-Man. But how do I keep up with him? The webbing of his is the next thing to fly in. And I'm running out of clotheslines and fire escapes. But at least Red Wing can stay with him. So all I have to do is follow Red Wing, and sooner or later, hey, someone's in trouble right below me. It's a mugging. Someone yelled, help, Bob.
Help!
Yes, it's a Southern Belle in downtown Manhattan.
That's a tourist.
This won't be the same as nabbing Spider-Man, but I gotta play him as I get him. My purse, don't take it. It's my food money. Let's shut her up. Stay with it, sister. They ain't getting nothing except for a few lumps, compliments of the Falcon. And he lands on them and, you know, hits them both. Looks like I lost Spider-Man by now. So it's all up to Red Wing. He's got a spot where he goes, then fly back and leave me there. And then a police officer comes running up. Hey, what's going on here? Can't you tell? We're filming a documentary. Just ask a lady, mister. She's the script girl. She'll tell you all about it. Me, I got other things to do. And he hightails it out of there. And he makes a leap over a tall fence, Bob, in the middle of an alleyway. Were you ever able to do that, Bob?
Oh, heck yeah. Yeah, I can still do it now. It'd have to be about a foot tall. But,
and a ladder?
A very, very short fence with a ladder, but yeah.
Did I ever tell you the story of when I jumped over a bar?
No, I don't think so.
No? Because I know I told this story not too long ago. I couldn't tell if I did this on the show or not. So, all right, everybody out there. I'm 5'6", right? I'm not the tallest guy in the world. So back when I was 18, something like that. I was working at a nightclub, in the restaurant portion because I was, you know, too young to be, you know, in the bar area.
Yeah.
But they had teen night, Bob.
Ooh.
They had teen night, and on teen night, I got to work the bar.
Oh yeah.
And that was cool.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, man. I'm 18 years old. I'm behind the bar and it's a nightclub. There's like, it's dark, you know, the lights are going, people are dancing.
Look like you
music.
Could use a Shirley Temple.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
And listen, you know, I'm there and, I'm flirting with all the girls, making tips, you know?
Yeah.
And there was this one girl who just kept coming back to my bar week after week after week. And she was beautiful. All right. She looked like she could be like Phoebe Cates' sister.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now I had a huge crush on Phoebe Cates.
All right.
So we get to the point and she's like, you know, come dance with me, come dance with me. And I'm like, I can't, you know, I'm going to get in trouble. I don't want to lose my job.
Yeah.
And after a while I was like, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to do this.
Oh, yeah.
And so I put my hand on the bar and I take my legs and I jump over the bar and I land perfectly.
Uh-huh.
Right. You thought I was going to like make a fool out of myself, right?
Yeah, I thought it was the fun ice cube or something.
No, no, man, I did it, and it was perfect.
Yeah.
The funny part was when I landed,
She
was like 2 inches taller than me. maybe more because she had heels on or something. And I land and I'm like looking up at her. And then we ended up dancing for a little while, and then I got back behind the bar and I didn't lose my job. And we dated for several months. But she always told me that it was so funny, the look on my face when I realized I landed, and then I'm like looking up at her.
Man, I had a whole, I don't know, like I was like an urban cowboy. Like vision in my head, you jumping over that bar.
Awesome. Minutes later, and we see Sam hears a noise, and it's a clunk, and he comes, he's on the roof, and he opens up a door. Hey, what are you doing, man? And it's Captain America, and he's throwing a shield at Sam. Heads up, partner. Thought I'd get in a little practice while you're off sulking. And he's like, He's hitting off the wall and ricocheting and coming back to him. I wasn't sulking. I just had things to do. Call it what you will, Sam. I figured you're entitled. I shouldn't have let off steam the way I did. So I've been hoping you'd get back soon to give me a chance to apologize. And he's just tossing the thing around. And then I like this here. You know, he's got the shield and he's twirling it around on his finger. He's like doing all these fancy acrobatics with the shield. But Sam just standing there. And he says, well, say something, will you? Want me to think you're a racist?
Ow.
Sam's like, oh, shut up, partner. But he smiles. Watch this, Falc. My boomerang toss. And then all of a sudden, Red Wing comes flying back. Red Wing, what have I been waiting for? I guess that's enough for today. Want to split a pizza, Sam? Count me out, Steve. I'm in the mood for some soul food. Catch you later, man. Something's on his mind. Something he's keeping from me. Well, he'll tell me when he's ready. And so Falcon goes off. I feel like a heel, not leveling with Cap. But there's something a man's got to do on his own. Anyway, I'll rate even higher with Cap if I could take Spider-Man alone. Finally, Red Wing circles, then silently alights upon a window's ledge. That must be where I'll find him. With Red Wing marking the spot, I'll lower myself from the roof. And then we get inside, and who we see there, Bob?
It's Peter Parker and Harry Osborn.
Yeah.
Hermes.
I'm going out for the last edition, Harry, to catch the scores. Take your time, Pete. I'm not scared of the dark. So that's Spider-Man. He don't look like so much to me. Wonder where he hides his muscles. And then Sam comes in the window going after Harry, thinking that he's Spider-Man. A noise coming from the hey, who are you? What are you doing there? One thing can be for sure. I ain't Snow White. If this is a burglary, you're wasting your time. Don't try to put me on, mister. I know who you are, although I didn't figure you'd be so weak. You're out of your skull. You must be nuts. And the Falcon just grabs him and picks him up off the couch. Nuts, am I? Red Wing led me right to you, and Red Wing doesn't make mistakes. Come on, quit the act, smart guy. You're not fooling anyone. I know you could put up a better fight than this. Okay. If you want to make it easy for me, that's your business. No, no. Now, come on. We got us a date at the precinct. Let go. You can't. No. Help. That sounds like Harry. But what? And then Peter Parker's out in the street, looks up. It's the Falcon. He was following me before, and now he's got Harry? Don't know what it's all about, but I got to help poor Harry. And he runs back into the apartment building. Can't go after him like this. If I can grab my costume in time, but I just don't get it. The Falcon recently teamed up with Captain America. What can Harry have to do with either of them? And he's putting on his Spider-Man costume. Well, there's only one way to find out. I still don't get it. Kidnapping just isn't Cap's style. Unless the Falcon's doing this on his own. Maybe Cap doesn't even know. And he crawls up the building, outside the building to get to the roof. They say Captain America trained the Falcon, taught him all he knows. If that's the case, he'll be no pushover. But no matter how skillful he is, he's still a normal man, while I have my spider strength. I see him now, down below. I never realized the Falcon was so big. Harry's like a peanut next to him down there. Hold it, big man. That's as far as you go. Spider-Man. But then who? Now I get it. He thought he was grabbing me. Wow. Does he have another thing coming? Actually, I need to reread that. Wow. Does he have another think coming? Let go of him, Falcon. If you're looking for company, try me. And he comes in, he swings down, and he kicks Sam in the face, knocking him back and freeing Harry. So, I had the wrong man all along. If I'm your pigeon, you sure did, fella. Nice of you to drop by and set things straight. I'll save me the trouble of going out to find you again. Hey, how'd you move so fast? You call this fast? You should see me when I'm not resting. Look, pal. Why don't you just split while you can? I know you're Captain America's pride and joy, but you haven't a chance against me. Why, you swell-headed ego tripper. You're boring me, Falcon. And he has his back to him, but then does a back kick in it, right in his, like, solar plexus. If Cap's bugged about something, he could tell me so himself. Wait, you're not running out on me. Running out? I'm just waiting for you to send number one. Cap. Why does it always hit me, Cap? I'll prove I can do it on my own. Have you had enough yet? And Sam punches him in the face. Okay, Wallcrawler, now it's my turn. I'll show you what the Falcon's made of. Cap's my partner, sure, but no one has to wet nurse me. And then he hits him in the back of the head. And then he punches him again with two fists. I've hit you with everything I've got. What's keeping you up? And then just then, as he's punching, Spider-Man grabs his fist. Why don't you ask your partner? Captain America could tell you about my strength. He'd have more sense than slug it out. But some guys have to learn the hard way. So then Harry sees what's going on. He hightails it out of there. They've forgotten about me. Now's my chance to take off. Ominously.
Mm-hmm.
Look who it is. Shut up. Turn down the block. They mustn't see us. It's the shield slinger and his stooge, the two creeps who busted up our racket. Hey, Cap's leaving. The Falcon's all alone. But you gotta be careful. You're still out on bail. I didn't get where I am by being careful. First we get the Falcon, and then, with no partner to help him, Captain America will be easy. Let's go. Stone-faced must have his revenge. Next, Captain America, the Falcon, Spider-Man, and Stone-Face get it all together. All right, Bob, do you want to describe the cover to issue 138?
All right, Rick. Well, this is another great cover, right? It's got the three of them. It's got Cap, it's got Spidey, and it's got Falcon, but they're up in the girders of some sort of superstructure. So it might be, in New York City. Could be maybe the subway, an above ground subway. Could be an unfinished building. It's not quite clear, but it's quite high up. And it's got the Falcon all tied up in Spidey's webbing. So he's sort of out of commission. And it's got Spider-Man and Cap going at it. And Spider-Man has just landed a solid punch on Cap's shield.
Yes. It's there's a lot of detail in this cover, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's detail in the girders, there's detail in the background, there's detail, at the base, the webbing, very detailed. So it's a really nice cover.
And lots of onlookers.
Yeah. Like I said before, with the last one being Sal Buscino, this one is John Romita Sr. did this cover. And John Romero Sr. is also doing the interior art, taking over again from Gene Colan. So we still have Stan Lee as a writer. The inker is also changed. It's Tony Mortellaro, but we still have Artie Simic as a letterer and Stan Lee as the editor. Would you like to hear the solicitation for this one?
I am on pins and needles, Rick.
This one's the greatest. Spider-Man strikes again. Stoneface attacks. Cap and the Falcon in galvanized action. And Romita's art. Too much.
I'd say just enough.
Yeah. You know what I also like about the cover, Bob? Is I just like the corner box a lot too. Right? You got the you got capped CAPT period America at the top. And underneath the same as before, a cap charging with the shield up in the face of Falcon. And at the bottom, it has Marvel Comics Group and has Marvel in blue and Comics Group. And I don't know, just so dated, right?
It's a classic, though.
And the logo this time where it says Captain America Falcon, Captain America is in the red, white, and blue. And what's the title to this one, Bob?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. It Happens in Harlem.
Last ish, we saw the Falcon attacking the Amazing Spider-Man by himself in an effort to prove that he could make it without his partner, Captain America. But the web-slinger was too much for him, and the managed to secretly plant his Spidey tracer on the dark-skinned Dynamo. Bob, you wrinkled your nose there.
Yeah, you don't really hear much of that language anymore, but...
I know Dynamo is so... Yeah, I can't.
I know, right?
You know, if someone calls me a dynamo, and like, who are you talking to?
Exactly.
Now, as our torrid tale begins, the Falcon still hasn't told Cap about his encounter with Spider-Man, and he's still unaware that Spidey's small electronic beeper has been hidden beneath his belt, and he's not about to find it, because things are gonna pop. So here on this big splash page, we have... Captain America riding away in his motorcycle late at night downtown Harlem, and Falcon in his green costume with Red Wing on his shoulder waving at Cap saying, "So long, Cap, see you around." He's keeping something from me, I can tell, but I won't pressure him. He'll clue me in when he's ready. Alas, neither Cap nor the Falcon are aware that the sleek limousine slowly drawing near contains the murderous Stoneface, the evil Harlem mobster who has vowed revenge upon our unsuspecting heroes. And now that we're updated, let's get to it, troops. There's a lot of story ahead. And I like where Artie, the letterer, the way he put the creators and the credits on the wheel of the motorcycle, on the front wheel of Cap's motorcycle.
Yeah, that's a cool touch. Yeah, nice use of space.
And once again, Bob, we have to really talk to Steve about his motorcycle maintenance. Because we've got the, smoke coming out that's just trailing. Along the road there.
I mean, the general just said, we've got to do a better job taking care of this planet, right?
Yeah, but Bob, that's about putting atomic waste in the core. It has nothing to do with the emissions coming out of our vehicles or our plants.
We've all got a part to play, Rick. And somebody needs to pick up all those papers blowing around in the street, too, while they're at it.
Cap's not here to pick up stuff, Bob. That's not his role.
You know, I gotta say, I love this. I love this splash page. Mm-hmm. Number one, I wish I'd feel better if Cap was looking ahead as he was driving. You know, it's just the safety conscious person in me.
His helmet? Cap's helmet? Come on,
right? But you know, the pose that Falcon is striking seems I could be wrong here, but it looks almost exactly reminiscent. Maybe, I don't know. It seems like I've seen this before, like maybe on the cover of 118 or something.
Yeah. Are you playing dumb? Because it
No,
totally is.
I'm not. I'm trying to remember, but it seems like I've seen that exact same, like it was like cut and pasted out of a previous issue or something.
I thought you were setting me up here for
No,
like,
I'm not.
yeah, no. If you look up the cover, to somewhere, yes, it is. I'm not sure either, Bob, but
I'm looking it up. I can't take
it's
it.
not the cover of 118. I can tell you right
It's
now.
not. All
If
right.
anything, it's closer to the cover of 119. You know, the way the angle that Falcon's standing there,
It's bugging me.
but him putting his hand up like that, you know, with
Yeah.
that kind of, yeah, it totally reminiscent of something.
All right.
Glad Cap didn't bug me about what happened. I still want another crack at Spider-Man by myself. And then Redwing makes a noise, Bob. Hey, what is it, Redwing? And then coming out of the alleyway behind him are two thugs. That blasted bird alerted him. So what? He can't do nothing. Two stone-faced torpedoes. You gotta be nuts to tackle me. Hey, that cat's too much. Benny and Chico can't take him. Benny and Chico. We need a backup story, you know,
Yeah,
over like
right. Yeah.
six issues backup story of Benny and Chico.
Yeah, right. I want to know their origin tales.
Don't just sit there. Start the engine. We're moving in. You think you're jumping some cheap street corner hood? This is the Falcon, man. And just in case you're not getting the message, and he back hits him. Now Benny and Chico are in the clear. Get him! And all of a sudden, the limousine starts running right towards Falcon, and he's in the middle of an alley. He can't get out of the way, Bob. That car, gun in its motor, it's coming right at me. No time to leap clear. The alley's too narrow. Redwing, the windshield. And all of a sudden, Redwing goes down and starts clawing at the windshield. Boss, I can't see. The bird's beating its wings in front of my eyes. It worked. He swerved just enough to, but he does get hit, Bob.
He does get nicked.
And he ends up falling down. But then the car ends up hitting the wooden fence. Straighten her out, you fool. You're going to crash. The brake. Hurry, hit the brake. Out cold, huh? You're lucky, you slob. That's nothing to what I'll do to you if you ruin the grill work up front. Benny, Chico, get back here, you creeps. The Falcon ain't gonna stay asleep forever. Okay, boss. Okay, we're coming. What about the blasted hawk? It won't let us get near him. You got a rod, ain't you? Use it. And he starts firing at Red Wing. I'm using it. I'm using it. Ever try hitting a moving hawk? Who cares if you hit him or not? Just as long as he takes off. That bird's nearly human. He knows when he's had it. Save the philosophy. Get the Falcon in the car. Move. With him as a hostage, Captain America will be eaten out of our hands. Hey, there's something under his belt. So what? This ain't no fashion show. Come on, come on. We got things to do. Oh, I thought they were going to take away the Spidey tracer, but they didn't.
They didn't, you know? They were hung up about this not being a fashion show.
Meanwhile, in another part of town, we see Spider-Man up on the wall, on the side of a building, actually.
Yeah.
I better see if Harry's okay before I go after the Falcon again. The poor guy was almost in a state of shock by the time I reached him, and who can blame him? The Falcon's not exactly the type of character a fellow like Harry would want as for an enemy. In fact, enemies like him, I can live without too. So he shows up, and he has his Spidey costume on, but he has a robe over top of it, Bob, and a towel wrapped around his neck as he's coming out of his
Yes.
bedroom. Hi, Harry. Man, did I sleep like a log. Say, what's wrong? You look all shook up. I thought you'd never wake up and unlock your door. Wait till I tell you what happened to me. You know what's cool about this issue, Bob, is we're seeing John Romita Sr., right?
Yeah.
Legendary artist.
Mm-hmm.
What is he best known for?
Spider-Man.
Yeah. And here he is drawing Spider-Man and Harry in the pages of Captain America. Yeah. So it's kind of neat. As a Captain America fan, if you don't pick up Amazing Spider-Man, you get this treat seeing this.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
A few minutes later, but what would make the Falcon break in here and try to capture you? I just told you. He just kept accusing me of being Spider-Man. But that doesn't make sense, Harry. Why you? I don't know. But if the real Spider-Man hadn't come by when he did, you've seen Spider-Man, Pete. You've shot pictures of him. I thought maybe you'd have some idea. Nope. It's a mystery to me, Harry. But look, the Falcon made a mistake, and he realized it when he saw the real Spider-Man. So if the wall crawler is one he's after, he won't be bothering you again. I guess you're right, Pete. I might as well forget it. Sure. Spidey's the one who should be worried. And then he gets back into his bedroom, takes off the robe. And now that I took care of that, Spidey's got to do a lot more than just worry. I'll swing around town till I home in on my little beeper. And then I'll find out what the Falcon's really up to. And as the web of fate draws ever tighter. Web of fate. Oh, that's the end.
Yep, he knows how to weave those words together.
Caps on his motorcycle, polluting the city. I don't like the Falcon keeping secrets from me. There's nothing I can do about it. He may be my partner in crime fighting, but he still has to be his own man. Anyway, we all have things we'd rather not talk about. Just like I can't get myself to talk about Sharon. And yet, and he takes off his mask. Oh, and his wavy blonde hair and his blue eyes look so worried, Bob.
But still in very perfect condition. I put on a hat for like 30 seconds, you know, and I have like a big dent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't have that problem anymore.
I know.
Shut up. Oh, is your hair dented, Bob? Oh.
Okay. All right. Jeez.
And yet, no matter where I go, what I do, she's always on my mind. And day by day, little by little, I'm beginning to realize one thing. She means more to me than anything else, even more than my empty life as Captain America. If I thought we could make it together, I'd give up everything. But maybe I don't have to. Maybe there's another way.
Nope.
If I could get a part-time job, offer her the chance of a normal home life. Oops, snap out of it, Rogers. Someone's at the door.
You know, why not a full-time job, Steve?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's open. Come in. Hello, Toby. I'm looking for my uncle. I gotta tell him something. Sam isn't here, son. I'll take a message. Well, you just tell him that Stoneface is out on bail. That means Harlem's in for some big trouble, because he'll be out to get his turf back. Every racket around here was under his thumb. And Stoneface ain't about to forget it and become a peace-loving 9-to-5. Anyway, you be sure and tell my uncle to steer clear of him. Sam Wilson may be the best social worker in Harlem, but Stoneface can chew up 20 like him for breakfast. And I want my favorite relative getting hurt. Dig? Toby remembers how Sam once helped him break free of Stoneface's influence. But the danger's even greater than he thinks. Because while Sam Wilson may be willing to cool it, the Falcon won't. Well, I just need to point something out here, Bob.
Yeah, please do.
He keeps referring to him as Toby.
Toby, right? Toby, yes. Casper was his last name. Casper?
It is.
His
Casper, yes. Son? But you know what his real name is?
Is it Joby?
Jody. Jody. J-O-D-Y.
Jody, yeah.
But I thought was, yeah, Stan different. Forgot that and called him Toby.
Yeah, well, it was a long time ago. It was like issue 134.
Sure.
So
touche.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what he's keeping from me. Maybe the Falcon wants to tackle Stoneface on his own. And then just on cue, like before, Red Wing comes crashing in through the window. Maybe crashing is a strong word. There's no glass there. He comes flying.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he makes a noise. Just Casey and Bobby still like getting up mad at you.
Oh yeah, they still do. Yeah. Yeah. I'll hear about it later.
Red Wing, beating his wings frantically, trying to tell me something. The Falcon must be in danger. No time for my bike. Red Wing's not waiting. I've got to follow, somehow, as best as I can. And Cap puts his uniform back on and grabs his shield and jumps out the window. This is insane. How long can I hope to keep up with a speeding hawk? But I have no other choice. I can't fail my partner. You know, I thought before when Stoneface thugs referred to Red Wing as a hawk, that they were just being dumb. And now Cap's referring to him as a hawk. Is Red Wing a hawk or is Red Wing a falcon?
It's a good question. I think he's a hawk.
But yeah. Am I the only one thinking that Red Wing was a falcon?
I guess I never really gave it that much thought before. But now that you mention it, I do think he's a hawk.
Huh.
Yeah, it seemed logical it would be a falcon. But
yeah. Right?
Right.
I mean, I don't want to be like, you know,
nitpicky, but yeah.
I'm looking him up.
Yeah.
No, it says here it goes. Red Wing is a falcon that was bought by Sam Wilson while in Rio. The two share a telepathic link, a result of the Red Skull's manipulation of the cosmic cube.
All right. That's because falcons are members of the Hawk family.
Oh, did you just look that up?
I did. No, you think I that's of course I just looked it up. It's one of 60 species within the broader family of Hawk.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So it's like saying all falcons are hawks, but not all hawks are falcons.
That is correct. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you could call a falcon a hawk and technically be correct?
Yes. It is a technically correct.
This is the kind of stuff that we bring to you, listeners.
Yes.
You know, you are now just as well informed as we are, thanks to the Google.
Yes, yes. Google.
All right. So Cap's jumping around, building to building, flagpole to flagpole, trying to keep up with Red Wing. But it's starting to rain. It'll slow me down. It's becoming a shower. I can hardly keep Red Wing in sight. And the wires are getting too slippery. It's no use. I can't see him anymore. The rain is too thick, too blinding. All I can do is wait and hope it stops soon enough for me to pick up his trail again. Cap puts his shield over top of him like an umbrella. Meanwhile, on Upper Park Avenue in the heart of Harlem, we have, this is actually a really cool panel. I mean, the detail we have here. I mean, yeah, you've got Spider-Man, you know, swinging in, but look at that background, Bob. It's almost like, it's almost like John Romita took a photo and like, you know, animated it, right? Because that's just too close to how it should really look with the and I keep talking about it, but not without talking about it. It basically, it's underneath a bridge. You know, I don't know what you call this. And you know, is this, but it's is this a highway or is this a this is a highway that's going over the city, right? And underneath is a road where cars park and you see, you know, obviously all the girders that are holding up the highway. I think I've seen probably in some 1970s movies, some car chase scenes.
Oh yeah,
you know, going on through here.
Yeah, there's always like a pizzeria down there on the street level or something, right? A bar, Nikki's Bar or something down there. The mob's hanging out.
Oh, but you mean the pizza place in New York? Yeah, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, that one. Yeah.
Yeah. Luckily, the rain can't affect my Spidey tracer. If the Falcon is anywhere around, I'm bound to find him. In fact, I'm beginning to tingle now. Now he's got the Peter tingle.
There you go.
That limousine passing right below me. There's no doubt about it. It has to be him. And inside the unsuspecting vehicle. I don't like it, boss. He'll be dangerous when he comes to. Not as dangerous as Stoneface. Keep him covered and shut up. We're done with penny ante rackets. I got planning to do. Big planning. With the Falcon in our hands, Captain America will be next. Then, when the news is out, nobody will dare stop us. This town will be mine. Mine. And how would you describe Stoneface's face, Bob?
It's not an attractive face, although I'm sure his mother loves it. You know, he's got a bit of a saggy face, but it's a very angry face. But I will say he has very nice teeth.
It's only saggy on one side, Bob.
Yeah, that's true. It's saggy on the left side, as if he maybe had Bell's palsy or something. I don't know. But you're right. It is droopy on one side. I'm not exactly sure where he got the name Stoneface. He's been featured in a few stories, of course, going back, I think, to was it 134, maybe 133, 134, the last time he was here. But I don't recall his origin coming up. I think it's just something we have to take at face value.
Nicely done. Nicely done. Well, his first appearance was in Captain America 134.
Okay, so yeah. And I know he's been in a few stories here and there, but...
Oh, here and there. That's a way to nail that down.
Yeah. He hasn't had a lot of appearances, let's just put it that way.
Yeah, I think according to what I am looking at on marvel.fandom.com, he has 7 appearances total. 7.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
He's ripe for renewal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. Are you Jackson and Colin? Are you listening?
There you go. Right. Yeah.
Or maybe even might make more sense for Tochi. Hey Tochi, if you're listening, maybe Sam needs to have another little get together with Stoneface.
Let's get that.
But if Stoneface knew what we know, he might not be so certain. And so there's Spider-Man looking down on the limousine as it's backing into to this building. They're backing into that warehouse building. But what's the Falcon doing in a limousine? So they're carrying an unconscious Falcon out. What do we do with them, boss? Put them on ice till I need them. First, I got a big deal to take care of with a high binder. I'm going to go high binder.
High binder. Yeah.
Yeah. There can only be one. First, I got a big deal to take care of with a high binder from the state capitol. The state capitol? You heard me, man. I told you we're in the big leagues now. And then we cut back to Spidey. This isn't what I expected. Looks like the Falcon's a prisoner. Tie him up real good. You don't have to tell me. I'm not looking to tangle with him again. And then we cut to Stoneface being dressed. Right? He's got a lady there who is clothing him. You know you're big wig, Bob, when you just stand there and people put clothes on you.
Yep, you made it. Right? Yep. It's going to be the king.
But you look like the piss boy.
There you go.
Pawn jumps to queen. Bishop jumps to queen.
All right.
I've been working on this outfit all day, Stoneface. I made it just like you wanted it. Yeah, yeah. It's got to be just right for when Whitey gets here. I'm going to play up this ethnic bit for all it's worth. It can't miss. And so he's putting on kind of like a African garb.
Right, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know the name of the particular cloak that he's wearing.
I don't.
But I got to tell you, this colorist did love magenta.
Yeah, right.
He's like, oh, must be shopping the same place as Sharon.
Yeah.
We're just in time, boss. The man is here. Okay, let's get into our act. And then, so he goes and he's sitting like on a throne, Bob.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a little fur pelt rug in front of him. And there's like African shields that are there. And then they got some ladies dressed in African garb mm-hmm. and some men dressed in African garb. And then we see this old white dude, right? He looks to be about 70, right? And he's there. He's got a suit on. And he says, "My name is Harrison. I represent the governor. I want to make it clear that he was most disturbed by your thinly veiled threat." "Threat? Stoneface don't threaten, man. I was just stating a fact. If you want to build a state office building in this neighborhood, it can't be done unless I give you the go-ahead." "But the office building will improve the area and provide hundreds of new jobs." "Don't try and smart mouth me, man. You want to build that joint here? Then you make a donation to my community center. Like cool $1 million, all cash. 'Cause if you don't, my people ain't going to like you building that dump. And you'll see riots and burning like you never saw before. Just you remember, I'm the one they listen to here. What I say goes." While in another part of the building, we see Spidey coming down on top of two people. Guards. "Hey, guys, where's the action?" "I heard something. There's something out here." "You could say that again, bright boy." And then Spider-Man attacks one of them. "Who's there? What's going on?" "I thought you'd never ask." And then he throws one into the other. "Forgive my haste, Bright Eyes. But since I don't get paid for this, there's no sense wasting all night. Besides, the Falcon's the one I want." And he webs up those two guys, and then he breaks the strands of the Falcon and carries them on his shoulder out. "I'm sure glad it stopped raining. Nothing's worse than swinging around town in a wet playsuit." At that moment, something else is equally glad the downpouring has ended. "It's Red Wing. He came back for me. When Sam Wilson trains a bird, he stays trained." What does that even mean?
Well, that seems to, I think poor Red Wing needs a little more credit. Just being a trained bird, you know, but whatever. Just seems demeaning. Shame on you, Cap.
"And now I can follow him. Lead on, little friend. I'm right behind you." And as Cap draws even closer, "Spider-Man, how did you find me? Why'd you take me away? I figured you'd be waking up by now, and I wasn't about to leave you there. Not until I learned why you tried to tackle me when, hey!" And Falcon, who is leaning over his shoulder, now starts to grapple, you know, around Spider-Man's neck, holding him kind of like in a... What kind of wrestling hold is that, Bob?
Is that a full Nelson?
I think it is.
Yeah.
I
don't know. Half Nelson? I don't know.
Yeah. 220, 221, whatever it takes.
What is that from?
That's from Mr. Mom.
Mr. Mom. All right. Okay. Okay.
I love that quote.
What's the context?
So you have this stay at home dad. You got right? little, he's Michael lost Keaton. His job. Yeah, and he's uh-huh. there. And then his wife's coworker or boss comes by, and you know he decides to start like being all macho, right? So he gets out his chainsaw,
right?
You know,
yeah,
and then he puts on his hat backwards and his overalls and his goggles, and he's looking at like support beams, and the guy asks him like, "You gonna do this 220?" He's like, 220, 221, whatever it takes. Because he's clueless. He's clueless to what the guy's talking about.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That sounds awfully familiar.
Because you're wanted by the law, man. And maybe I'm trying to prove something to a partner of mine. So that's it, huh? Well, I'm glad it's nothing personal, but you'll have to do your proving with someone else. I've got other fish to fry. Oh, no, you don't. Fast as you are, you're not unbeatable. Hey, I thought your shield-slinging partner was the only one who could unwind that way. That sock might have stopped a whole gaggle of goons, mister, but immodest as it may sound, you're up against a gent with spider strength, and now you're going to listen to reason, even if I have to waste all this webbing to hold you still. You runty webhead, I don't care how strong you are. You ain't putting the falcon down. Nobody's putting you down, big fella. I'm just trying to keep you from pulverizing me. After all, we're in the same line of work. Okay, so I'm wanted, but it's a bum rap. I never hurt anybody. If you want to prove how good you are, try someone like Stoneface. Hey, something's wrong. My spidey sense is tingling. Look out, behind you. And it was Red Wing coming up behind Spidey, and Falcon was warning him.
Yeah, that seems odd.
My shoulder. Red Wing, no, go back. It's all right. And then a Captain America shield just came and barely missed. Thank God for Spice Tingle. His Peter Tingle. Oh, no, not you too. You bet it's me, mister. Fight the Falcon and you fight me too. Now get down off there before I drag you down. Nuts. I've had it. Everyone thinks it's open season on Spider-Man. Well, I'll just show you that. And he goes to punch Cap, but Cap puts his shield up and makes a loud noise. Yow! You'll show us nothing. Cap, hold it. Don't make the same mistake I did. He's not the one we should be fighting. He was just trying to drum some sense into my thick skull. Partner, you sure get your learning the hard way. Clue me in, huh? What's going on here? Then, all but oblivious to the commotion they have caused below, it's Stoneface. He's threatening the governor's aide. Jody warned me he was out to cause trouble in Harlem. And what are we waiting for? A very cognate query, Cap. First, we have to free the Falcon. Okay, as long as he's simmered down, you pick some part, Cap. He's as tough to handle as you. That's all I wanted to hear. Now let's go and do our thing. Follow me. I'll lead you right to his hideout. Hurry. We've got a little score to settle with Stoneface. And this time, we do it as a team. And then the three of them jump off at the same time. And at that very instant, 3 seconds later to be precise, you're asking the state to pay $1 million to your community center. But we all know the money will go into your pocket. The people will see none of it. You can't blackmail us like that. Blackmail? Who say anything about blackmail? I'm talking about riots, man. One word from me, and this town becomes a powder keg. So if you want to build your crummy skyscraper, you better come across here. And he grabs the man by his collar and pulls him, and it's like very intimidating. We wouldn't want the governor to learn you had an unfortunate accident, would we? Don't worry about it, Stoneface. Nothing will happen to anyone except you. that voice, the Falcon, but it can't be. He's my prisoner. Not anymore, he isn't. But I'll just get this gent to safety and let you find out about it by yourself. Spider-Man, him too? Shoot, you fools, gun him down. Why bother with him? I'll give you a better target. The party's over, Stoneface. It's time to pay the piper. Captain America, you won't get me a second time. That shield of yours can't hold out our bullets off forever. Keep firing, boys. You got him pinned down. He's finished. Don't bet on it. Not while my partner's on the scene. You forgot about me, huh? Shouldn't have done it, man. Okay, Cap. It's cleanup time. Batak. Much obliged, Falcon. Nice of you to leave something for the old man to do. But don't hog all the fun, partner. You don't want old Falc to get stale. Nice going, son. But there's trouble behind you. Remember Maneuver 6 that we practiced? You know it, man. So give me room, because here it comes. Pa-cow! And he kicks Stoneface behind him. Wow. It was like a symphony. I'm never knocking our team up again. We're good here. That's what I've been trying to tell you, partner. Minutes later, the police are escorting Stoneface and his crew away. You should have stuck by your number, Stoneface. You were never cut out for the big time. There's someone waiting for you, Cap, in that car. Steve looks tense, nervous. Now what's up? Cap goes over to the car, opens up the door, and he sees someone in the shadows sitting in the car. Oh, I thought it might be you. I'll have to ask you to come with me now. We can't put it off any longer. Cap goes back to Falcon and says, I have to leave for a while. Can't explain what it is yet, but I'll be back just as soon as I can. Sure, Cap. I could take care of myself. I'm a big boy now. Never saw him like this before. It must be serious. Something's in the wind, Red Wing, and it's giving me bad vibes. I got a feeling that Cap will never be the same again. Next, the surprise of the year, the secret life of Captain America.
Wow. All
the
right.
End.
Hot diggity dog.
Yeah. All right, Bob, let's get to it. What did you think of the story?
All right. You know, good story, right? I mean, it's fun, right? I mean, you can't go wrong with Cap and Falcon and Spider-Man in the story, right? It's going to have some great action scenes. It had some pretty good dialogue, too. It's got classic Spidey dialogue. So, you know, I think it's a fun story. A good read. It's a little dated. But still, you know, it's a fun tale.
Is this the first time we did Spider-Man on this show? Because I don't remember doing a Spider-Man voice before, and I really couldn't figure out how I wanted to do it.
Mm-hmm. I guess it is, actually.
I'm not really thrilled with the choice I made on Spider-Man's voice.
I thought, you know, if you don't mind me saying, Rick, and I mean this in the best possible sense, I thought it was very serviceable.
I will take that as you meant it.
Yes, I thought it was great. Yeah.
Oh, great equals serviceable now? I didn't realize that. Okay.
But to me, Rick, I wouldn't have anything. I have high standards.
Next time I'm having dinner with my wife, I'll say, yes, honey, this was serviceable. And then after I come to, I will I'll say, but Bob said that meant great.
My wife tells me all the time that I'm serviceable. I just assumed it meant great. So
we will talk what part of the house that's in, right?
Indeed, yes.
Okay.
Synonyms are fun.
So my wife has a t-shirt She loves this t-shirt. I got it for Christmas. And it's a picture of a cinnamon roll. Okay. Uh-huh. And it's animated, right? So the cinnamon roll is like anthropomorphic. It has like a little face on it, smiling, you know, whatever. And then around this, it has, you know, scrumptious, delectable, delicious, you know, like all these different words. Yeah. And then it says underneath, cinnamon roll.
I like that.
Yeah.
It's fun to learn.
It is. It is. Well, she was like an English major. So, you know, that's kind of her kind of humor. So,
yeah.
Anyway. That's all right, Bob. Who goes first? We're going to do,
track.
We're going to do panel, favorite panel, t-shirt worthy, and time capsule.
All right.
Do we know or should we flip it? If you flip the coin?
Sure, flip it.
All right. We got the What Would Cap Do challenge coin here. Mm-hmm. What do you want? You want?
I'm going Shield.
You're going Shield? See, listeners, I am baffled by that. I think the best side of this coin is the one that says, What Would Cap Do?
I know. But maybe I'm just trying. Maybe I think that side weighs more. And so I'm just trying to throw it in your favor.
All right. Here we go. I'm going to flip. Ready? Mm-hmm. Ready? You won. You
or
go
maybe
first.
Not. Okay. So what
you
are we
didn't
doing
want to
first?
Go first?
No, it doesn't matter to me.
You won. You go first.
The journey, Rick. You know, the journey is only fun if we all arrive there together.
Just go.
What are we doing first?
Favorite panel.
Favorite panel. I think I'm going to have to go with page 17 of issue 138.
You suck. You totally suck.
I can change my mind. I had two. It was a very tight competition for me.
It's all right. You do what you want. But I'm going to use that same one for t-shirt worthy.
All right. You can't go wrong with that panel, though. Right?
I know. Sure. So the panel we're describing is the one where it's at the bottom of page 17 of issue 138, and it's when on the left hand side you have Spider-Man, middle you have Cap, right you have Falcon. They're all jumping off the girder, and it's a horizontal panel, right? Mm-hmm. So that's why I think it'd be perfect on a t-shirt, because you know a lot of t-shirts we have like are vertical. I think this would be a really cool panel across the chest. So actually, that was my vote for t-shirt worthy. But since you didn't take it for t-shirt, I can take it for t-shirt.
Yep, you sure can.
All right, my favorite panel is I'm going to go with issue 137. And I'm going to go with page 10. Panel 4. And this is the one where Cap is standing there with, you know how like the Globetrotters would get a basketball twirl on their finger, and it'll just kind of spin on their finger. Cap's doing that with his shield.
Yeah.
He's spinning his shield on his finger. I don't know if I've seen that anywhere else before.
I don't think I have. I don't think the physics allows for it. But it is a wonderful.
Hush. Okay. www.zipit. Zip it. All right.
Zip it good.
So there he is. So that's the thing that aesthetically appeals me to that panel. But then then Cap says, "Well, say something, will you? Want me to think you're a racist?"
Yes. Yeah. That's a little bit dated. Also, I love the look on like Sam's face,
He's
right?
like rolling his eyes, smiling.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, yeah, okay, Whitey.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a cool panel for sure. Yeah. All right. You know, my favorite panel. Are we still doing favorite panel? What are we doing here now?
No, you already did your favorite panel.
Oh, you
now
did
you're
favorite.
Going, you, I did my t-shirt All worthy. Right. You're going your t-shirt worthy.
All right. I'm going to go just four panels. What? Four or five panels before that. The last panel on page 9.
All
so
right.
if you recall, it is Cap hurling his shield right at you, right? And so he has just done the follow through. The shield is in the air, it's coming towards you. You see the wrist straps, you know, hanging from the bottom of the shield. I love the perspective on this panel, and I think it would be awesome to have that without the background, without the, you know, any of the shadows, just the character, the movement illustrated, and the shield. I think that would be an awesome t-shirt.
But what about the word balloons? Do you want it to say, "Heads up, partner, thought I'd get in a little practice while you're off sulking"?
That the word balloons would be kind of cool.
Okay.
Yeah,
but I do like it. Yeah, and that's a nice Gene Colan kind of pose there. All right, what do you got for Time Capsule?
All right, well, Time Capsule. There's so much to pick from, Rick.
Hmm.
But I think, you know, I had something in mind, but then I decided at the last minute, I'm going to change it to my Time Capsule is the concept of a female character swooning from excessive mental and emotional strain. Yeah. So I think we got to put that stuff, that one in the Time Capsule and be done with it.
Hmm. Yeah, that was so bad.
This Sharon, compared to, you know, how Sharon is portrayed now or has been really since the
since Mark Waid, when Mark Waid brought her back,
right? From Waid, right? Yeah, he brought her back as something different. And I mean, thank God they put her in the freezer for a while, and Waid had the sense to bring her back and make her something very, very different than how she had been portrayed. But, and this is one of those examples of like, oh my gosh.
Indeed. So for Time Capsule, you're right. There are so many choices. Even the Sock It to Me could be one, but I'm actually going to go with issue 137. I'm going to go with the entire page 7. So page 7 is when the Falcon sees Spider-Man, and he's like, oh, I need to go after him. And that's when he starts chasing after him. And the reason I think this is Time Capsule worthy, because there was only 2 years where the Falcon had a green costume, right? There's only 2 years that existed, number one. Number two, Spider-Man is wanted by the police. That was a period of time where, you know, obviously people don't think of him as a wanted criminal anymore. They don't think of the X-Men as criminals anymore. You know what I mean? Like, they've all proven themselves over the last however many years. So it's dated to me that Spider-Man is wanted by the police. Falcon is wearing a green costume. He doesn't have his wings yet. So it is very much a period of time. So that is going in my Time Capsule.
I love it. I think that's a great choice. That old green, it is a very sentimental favorite, right? And particularly that necklace. This is good stuff. Great choice, Rick.
Indeed. So Bob, next episode, you're right. We were in the 60s last episode, 70s this episode. We're going to the 80s, Bob. We are going. It's going to be awesome. Totally awesome.
To the max, man.
Yeah. We're going to, and you know what? Also, Bob, I was thinking, because this next episode comes out just days before Halloween, and we should probably tie this in to a Halloween-esque issue. So how about we do Captain America 326 from 1987, and that's when Cap revisits the Skull House.
Oh, great choice. Great choice.
Yeah. Mark Gruenwald is the writer. Ron Lim is the artist. Heck, Bob, it even says trick or treat on the cover. Mm-hmm. So it don't get no more Halloweener than that.
You said wiener.
Yeah, I did. Actually, you know what, Bob? I take that back. It wasn't Ron Lim as the artist. This was before Ron Lim's time. It was Paul Neary. Yeah, Paul Neary was the artist at that point. Mike Zeck does the cover. So anyway, we'll visit that next episode. So make sure you come back next episode so we can go through Captain America 326.
Awesome. All right.
All right, Bob. As always, it's been fun wrapping up with you.
I can't wait till next week.
All right. He's Bob Lucius. I'm Rick Verbanis, and you have been listening to another episode of the Captain America Comic Book Fans Podcast. Bob Lucius, Bob Lucius.
Oh, my goodness. Good times.
Did you like that?
I did, yeah. I'm going to put that down on my favorite playlists.